Did you know that Christmas celebrations were not observed by the early New Testament church? Did you know that neither Jesus nor the apostles celebrated his birthday? Then why do people celebrate Christmas? You'll be amazed to find out how the holiday we call Christmas began. It certainly didn't begin with Jesus and the apostles. Let's take a look at the origins of Christmas. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames explains the origins of Christmas. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Billions of people around the world are right now enjoying a vacation at this season of the year. We all enjoy a holiday. It seems our annual calendar is filled with special days. Some are secular, and of course there are many religious holidays or holy days depending on one's faith. Chances are that right now you're spending extra time with your family and friends. At Christmas time, the usual traditions and decorations seem to be everywhere. Christmas trees, gift giving, holly wreaths, mistletoe, and the nativity scene. Santa Claus is a popular tradition, but also very visible for many weeks before Christmas are the sales and promotions that make Christmas the biggest commercial season of the year. Millions of professing Christians around the world observe Christmas, some with a deeply religious feeling. Other non-Christians just keep it as a secular holiday. They think of it as vacation time, just like any other holiday. The retail sector of the economy certainly looks forward to the Christmas gift-giving season. According to one retail industry report, quote, consumer spending accounts for about two-thirds of the United States economic activity. So how are U.S. retailers doing during the 2003 holiday season? U.S. retail sales for the month of December 2003 rose by an impressive 6.0% over the same month in 2002. ShopperTrack reported in its National Retail Sales Estimate, NRSE. ShopperTrack also reported that although sales for the week ending January 3rd reflected the traditional post-Christmas slowdown, year-over-year sales for the same week jumped by a dramatic 46.5% on the strength of gift card redemptions, end of quote. In the United States, the Christmas shopping season typically begins the day after Thanksgiving. The Wall Street Journal featured this headline, quote, crazed consumers shop till they drop, sometimes like flies. Folks lined up for sales get injured in stampedes. Stores try crowd control, end of quote. Is this the kind of tradition Christians should practice? The article reports the following, quote, shoppers who have been caught in shopping stampedes say it can be terrifying. Carla Neiswanger, a high school counselor in South Windsor, Connecticut, says she held on to her sister as they were swept into a Walmart in Manchester, Connecticut, by a throng of shoppers the day after Thanksgiving. She says the shoppers nearby yelled, just go with it, don't fight it. Retailers say there is only so much they can do to corral unruly shoppers, end of quote. Is this the lifestyle and tradition Jesus Christ intended for Christians? Or have we all been taken in? Have we all been persuaded to overspend by our commercialized mass marketing Christmas shopping season? Let's ask a more basic question. Was there ever a time in history, since the birth of Christ, that there was a pure religious observance of Christmas? Did Jesus and the apostles ever observe Christmas? What holy days did they observe? On today's program, we'll take a look at the Bible and the facts of history for the answers. And we'll be offering you an inspiring free booklet that will give you the biblical festivals and holy days observed by Jesus and the apostles. It's titled, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. You need to read about these New Testament festivals in your own Bible. Be sure to write down the address and phone number to order your free copy. You can also order this booklet on our website at tomorrowsworld.org. If you have your Bible, turn to the first chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. You'll be surprised at what your Bible and history reveal about the celebration of Christmas. Just why was Jesus born? His mission, his purpose, has often been overlooked by the secular celebrations at this time of year. What purpose was revealed to Mary, Jesus' mother? Luke 1 and verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The angel Gabriel told Mary that Jesus was to be a king. He was born to be a king of a kingdom that would never end. About 30 years later, Jesus began his full-time ministry. He began preaching a special gospel. Turn in your Bible to the book of Mark. Mark the first chapter in verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What gospel was it? It was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." My friends, millions of professing Christians have overlooked the true gospel Jesus preached. He will return to this earth as the King over all nations on earth. Remember, the angel Gabriel proclaimed in Luke 1:33, "Of his kingdom there will be no end." Let's look further at the account of Jesus' birth in Luke 2 and in verse 8. Joseph and Mary had traveled back to Bethlehem for the census mandated by Caesar Augustus. The city was crowded, so Joseph and Mary had to find alternative accommodations. Jesus was born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger or a feeding trough. Notice the setting and the time of year. Was Jesus born in December on Christmas Day? It may be surprising to some, but we can be sure he wasn't. Luke 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Again, most Bible scholars plainly admit that shepherds were not in the field in December. The cold, rainy season began long before December 25th. Jesus was probably born in late September or early October. You can check most reputable Bible commentaries. My friends, why do we often accept traditions and teachings without checking up in the Bible? Some of our concepts and ideas don't really agree with the Bible. Let's notice one other popular misconception. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 2 and verse 1. Many of us think that the wise men came to celebrate Jesus' birth. We think they were at the manger presenting their gifts. But shockingly, this event was months later, after Jesus' birth. Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now notice verse 11. Was Jesus still in the manger, as some traditions teach? No, he was not. Matthew 2 and verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These presents were not birthday presents. They were presents to honor a great king. Now, when was this presentation? We can get some idea of the outside limit of Jesus' age. After the wise men left the Holy Land, King Herod was enraged. You can read about that in verse 16. King Herod wanted to know exactly the time determined by the wise men. Then Herod proceeded to kill all the children from 2 years of age and under. By the time the wise men visited Jesus, the gospel writer Matthew refers to him as a child, not as a baby, and he is in a house, not a manger. The NIV Study Bible comments about this visit by the wise men. Quote, "Contrary to tradition, the Magi did not visit Jesus at the manger on the night of his birth, as did the shepherds. They came some months later and visited him as a child in his house." The true biblical account of events is quite different from the traditions of the season. Again, the coming of the Messiah was a great event. The New Testament church of the first century knew the prophecies of the Messiah's coming, and they knew Christ's message. Yet the early New Testament church observed the same holy days that Jesus Christ observed, and it did not observe Christmas. We'll see in the next part of our program just how Christmas originated. But first, I'd like to offer you an inspiring free booklet titled The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. This booklet will not only reveal what New Testament holy days we should be observing, but it'll give you insight and understanding of humanity's future and ultimate destiny. The early New Testament church observed Pentecost as one of God's holy days. Christians celebrated the biblical pattern of holy days observed by Jesus and the apostles, but they did not observe days like Christmas and Easter. Why? You'll find the answer in our free, inspiring booklet, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. Just ask for the booklet on the holy days.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
In the first part of our program, we saw that some of the concepts portrayed by traditional Christmas celebrations are not in the Bible. But if the Christmas celebration tradition is not in the Bible, then how did it become an annual holiday? Where did it come from? The answer, in part, can be found in any reputable encyclopedia. I encourage you to go to your public library or your school library and look up the word Christmas in the Encyclopedia Britannica, for example. You may be surprised. Many of us have mistakenly imagined that Christmas began as purely religious holiday, and that somehow it got commercialized. Certainly it's over-commercialized, as we saw earlier. But was there a period of time when the Christmas holiday was purely religious? Here is a feature article in the U.S. News and World Report, In Search of Christmas. Notice the subhead, quote, "Imagine a purer, less commercial, more spiritual Christmas, but don't call it history." End of quote. In other words, the facts of history demonstrate that it's wrong to think that the observance of Christmas was ever an entirely religious celebration. According to historians, this idea is only a, quote, "product of our cultural imagination," end of quote. Where did the celebration of Christmas and all its traditions come from? As shocking as it may seem, it came out of a pagan celebration. One of the major festivals celebrated throughout the Roman Empire was the Saturnalia, in honor of the god of agriculture, Saturn. The Encyclopedia Britannica states, quote, "The Saturnalia became the most popular of Roman festivals, and its influence is still felt throughout the Western world. Originally on December 17th, it was later extended to 7 days. It was the merriest festival of the year. All work and business were suspended. Slaves were given temporary freedom to say and do what they liked." Notice, certain moral restrictions were eased, and presents were freely exchanged. The influence of the Saturnalia upon the celebrations of Christmas and New Year have been direct. End of quote. I hope we all understand. The Bible makes it very clear that we're to worship the true God, not false pagan gods. We're to worship the only true God, the Creator of all things, and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to this quote from the Encyclopedia Britannica, 15th edition, volume 15, pages 1062 and 1063. Quote, "Christianity was the religion that prevailed in the Roman world. It satisfied the Emperor Constantine's impulsive need for divine support, and from A.D. 312 onward, by a complex and gradual process, it became the official religion of the empire. For a time, coins and other monuments continued to link Christian doctrines with the worship of the sun, to which Constantine had been addicted previously. But even when this phase came to an end, notice this, Roman paganism continued to exert other permanent influences, great and small. The ecclesiastical calendar retains numerous remnants of pre-Christian festivals, notably Christmas, which blends elements including both the Feast of the Saturnalia and the birthday of Mithra, end of quote. Yes, history testifies that Roman paganism continued to exert permanent influences on the ecclesiastical calendar, particularly Christmas. Should we just ignore these influences in our Christian calendar? Absolutely not. What happened historically was that the Christmas celebration was established as a combination of a pagan and secular tradition with an overlay of religious spirituality. That's what happened in the 4th century AD. Religious people can't have it both ways. You can't be a Christian pagan. It's an oxymoron. You can't become a Christian and live the old sinful non-Christian ways. Jesus illustrated the need for a complete change in one's life in Matthew 9 and verse 17. He said in Matthew 9, verse 17, "Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." In other words, you don't try to live a Christian way of life as a new convert by retaining the old sinful or worldly ways you were supposed to come out of. One must repent deeply. One must change his attitude in his life and become a completely new person in Christ. Has modern Christianity retained much of the pagan pre-Christian customs and traditions? You judge for yourself. Now, let's continue with the origins of Christmas and its historical development. After the Saturnalia was supposedly Christianized in the 4th century, the celebration of Christmas spread across Europe. In her book, Christmas in America, historian Penny Restad mentions that in Scandinavia, Christmas, quote, became fused with the pagan Norse feast season known as Yule, the time of year also known as the Teutonic midwinter. Sometime around the Norman incursion in 1050, the old English word Christusmas, festival of Christ, entered the English language, and as early as the 12th century, Xmas had come into use, end of quote. The conflict between the pagan secular customs and the attempt to emphasize a spiritual meaning of the holiday continued on through the 16th and 17th centuries. Restad writes that the Parliament under Oliver Cromwell, quote, declared Christmas a day of penance, not feasting, and in 1652 strongly prohibited its observance, end of quote. Here in America, the Puritans of New England also denounced the observance of Christmas. One of the Puritan leaders named Increase Mather stated in his diary, quote, "Men dishonor Christ more in the 12 days of Christmas than in all the 12 months besides," end of quote. Yes, the Puritans denounced Christmas observance. History professor Stephen Nissenbaum writes about this compromise that the church made with the Roman festivals. Quote, "The Puritans knew what subsequent generations would forget, that when the church, more than a millennium earlier, had placed Christmas Day in late December, the decision was part of what amounted to, now get this, a compromise, and a compromise for which the church paid a high price," end of quote. That's from his book, The Battle for Christmas, pages 7 and 8. Professor Nissenbaum was also quoted in U.S. News and World Report magazine as saying that the Puritans, quote, "were correct when they pointed out, and they pointed it out often, that Christmas was nothing but a pagan festival covered with a Christian veneer," end of quote. Yes, the church compromised with paganism. Some people may ask, what difference does it make? So what if there's a little paganism in our celebration? The answer to that question lies in a very significant biblical principle. It's a principle for which religions, churches, and individuals are going to be held accountable. That's in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 30. "Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. God says, you shall not worship the Eternal your God in that way." My friends, we must not compromise with the Bible. We must not let pagan practices and traditions creep into Christianity. What we need to do is follow the instructions of Christ in the Bible. Turn in your Bible to John, the 13th chapter. On the night of the Passover, Jesus introduced the new symbols of unleavened bread and wine. He also taught his disciples the lesson of humility. He took on the task of a servant by washing their feet. He set them an example. John 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus and the apostles also set us an example in observing biblical festivals and holy days, not pagan days and traditions with a Christian name. To help you in your study of the biblical holy days, I'd like to offer you this inspiring free booklet titled, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. This booklet will give you the historical and biblical references for true Christian festivals and holy days. In fact, there's a chart that gives you the major biblical festivals. These biblical festivals will reveal even deeper meaning for God's plan of salvation than you've ever understood before. The Apostle Paul even instructed Gentiles to keep the true biblical festivals. You need this booklet. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. There's no cost or obligation. Just ask for the booklet on the holy days.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
The challenge all Christians face today is the choice between non-biblical tradition and biblical instruction. Will we allow pagan holiday traditions into our own personal belief system? Let's understand. Jesus never observed his birthday. The apostles didn't observe his birthday. The early Christians never celebrated any birthdays. According to historian Patricia Bunning Stevens, quote, "The earliest Christians avoided all pagan festivals, including the new birthday of the unconquered sun," meaning Mithras. "For that matter, they did not celebrate the birth of Christ or any birthdays, thinking such things pagan and worldly," end of quote. That's from her book, Merry Christmas, A History of the Holiday, page 39. Stevens also states that even the Christian scholar Origen, writing in the late 3rd century after Christ, quote, "declared it wrong to celebrate the birth of Christ as though he were a king Pharaoh," end of quote. God inspired the prophet Jeremiah to warn us about pagan traditions. Turn in your Bible to Jeremiah 10 and verse 2. He says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 2, "Do not learn the way of the Gentiles, or the heathen," as it states in the King James Version, "or the nations," as the NIV has it. Jeremiah then describes a Christmas tree-like tradition. You can read about that in the following verses. We need to ask ourselves whether we want to worship God in spirit and in truth, as Jesus tells us in John 4:24. We need to ask ourselves, are we compromising with traditions and customs which are contrary to the way of Jesus Christ? I think most of us know that much of modern professing Christianity is compromising. Finally, let's read one more historical reference. The Catholic Encyclopedia tells us this, quote, "Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the Church. Irenaeus and Tertullian omit it from their lists of feasts. Origen, glancing perhaps at the discreditable imperial Natalitia, asserts that in the Scriptures sinners alone, not saints, celebrate their birthday. In England, Christmas was forbidden by Act of Parliament in 1644. The day was to be a fast and a market day. Shops were compelled to be open. Plum puddings and mince pies condemned as heathen. The conservatives resisted. At Canterbury, blood was shed. But after the Restoration, dissenters continued to call Yuletide Fooltide. End of quote. That's from the Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 3, pages 724 and 728. My friends, consider the evidence. The New Testament church founded by Jesus and the apostles never observed Christmas. It was the Roman Emperor Aurelian who, in 274 AD, declared December 25th to be Natalis Solis Invicti, birth of the invincible Son. The celebrations and traditions of Christmas originated as a result of the church's compromise with the pagan festival of the Saturnalia and the celebration of Mithras, the sun god. The evidence of history is overwhelming. Look up the word Christmas or Saturn or Mithraism in your public library or your school library. Check it out for yourself. But most importantly, read your Bible, and you'll find that Jesus established an annual memorial of his death, not his birth. I challenge you to read the New Testament of your Bible, and eventually the whole Bible, if you haven't already. You'll discover that the New Testament church believed and lived by the teachings of Jesus and the Holy Scriptures. We look forward to the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as King of Kings. In the meantime, we have a responsibility. As Jesus said in Luke 4 and verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus and the apostles never observed Jesus' birthday, but they did observe Pentecost and the New Testament Passover, for example. You need to know what days and festivals the New Testament church, the Apostolic Church, observed. You'll find a complete listing in our free booklet, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. You'll discover the historic evidence of how a church abandoned apostolic teaching, and you'll also discover the inspiring, eye-opening meaning of God's holy days, the days Jesus and the apostles kept. And you'll discover the biblical festivals that his followers keep to this day. Be sure to request your inspiring free copy of the Holy Day booklet. We invite you to join us every week on Tomorrow's World program. Roderick Meredith, John O'Gwynn, and I will continue to share with you the teachings of Jesus Christ and the exciting end-time prophecies and their meaning. So join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.